Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who wears a bathing suit in the shower, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba. Happy to be with you this Wednesday evening in the beautiful state of Wisconsin. We are broadcasting statewide from City Deck Landing in beautiful downtown Green Bay at WGBW. And we are here to unwind together, to talk about things we like to talk about, like show business and entertainment and great music we love that makes our life much better, much more enriching. We got a little sports talk tonight, too. One of my guests will come by. We'll talk a little bit about UWGB athletics. Anya Esther will be along. She saw U2 recently, and she's going to discuss that with us. I like getting Anya's opinions on stuff like that, TV, film, the arts. She sent really cool trailers to these movies a few weeks ago, and we talked to her about that. That was fun. That might have been just a couple of weeks ago, actually. And now she's going to fill us in on U2 and her experience. I saw U2 decades ago. They're so much fun. We'll get an update from Anya. Jorge Reyna will be along later. He is one of the hosts of Mad Unity here on Civic Media, which follows this show tonight if you're in the Madison area. And my first guest coming up at the bottom of the hour will be Jay Finnerty. Jay is the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay Senior Associate Athletic Director for Resource Enhancement. I've got a lot of questions for Jay about UWGB athletics. He and I also have something in common. I'm anxious to talk to him about that, too. And Conrad, I don't know if you remember this. Back, I would say probably before you were born, in the 90s, maybe the early 2000s, UWGB was kind of like, they were kind of an NCAA tournament team you didn't want to play in the first round.
I didn't know that, no.
Yeah, Dick Bennett was the coach.
I know about Dick Bennett.
Yeah, he had a great career at UW-Stevens Point, moved to UWGB, and his son Tony played there for him. And then he might have gone to UW-Madison right before Tony's senior year. I feel like Tony played at Madison, too, and I think on a Final Four team. But, yeah, UWGB was like, they had like, I would say in 10 years, I could be getting this wrong, but it seemed like they made the Sweet 16 like 3 years of those 10, maybe in the 90s, early 2000s. Really fun team to watch. So anyway, I don't know how much about that Jay knows, but we'll ask him when he comes along. He's going to be in the studio. And so that will be fun. And then today is a very exciting day because this is the day in 1998, 26 years ago, one of my favorite films from the Coen brothers was released, The Big Lebowski. So we'll talk a little bit about that too. Got some fun clips as usual. And I found this interesting. There's a movie called Spencer Confidential that was released today in 2020. And it's a Mark Wahlberg film, kind of an action flick. Not bad. It's a good watch, but I remember it specifically because COVID had just started and all the lockdowns, or, you know, that's a loose term, but the quarantines, whatever you want to call them. And my son had to leave college. He was a freshman at UW-Madison, made it to like mid-March, and we had to pick him up because they closed the dorm. So he moved home for the final month or so of college, his freshman year. My daughter was sent home from her high school where she went at the time. And all four of us were under the same roof. And we watched Spencer Confidential. And it was just this kind of fun, you know, not very heady, certainly, film. Mark Wahlberg's got some funny lines. He did a good job. The cast was good. It was fine. And we watched it together. So it got me thinking, you know, not too much. People have different opinions on COVID, but in some ways, I really miss that time where we were kind of all shoved together and just forced to spend time together. It was very simple. You didn't really have anywhere to go. You had groceries delivered. We lived in an area where we could still walk and get out and walk with friends and socially distance and all that kind of stuff. We felt like we were being responsible, but we still had fun just hanging out together. And it was like almost in some ways a magical time. I know that that time brought a lot of pain for people and over a million lives were lost. And that's, it's terrible. But to spend time with your family like that and just while you're being responsible and you know you have their best interests at heart was just kind of a special time, as it turns out, looking back. Now, I say that because we didn't lose anyone really close to us. I lost a couple good friends to COVID, and that was really tragic and horrible. But this movie, where I'm going with this is this movie, Spencer Confidential, just a silly cable movie with Mark Wahlberg, when I saw that it was the anniversary today, brought back a good memory of us being holed up in our house, my two kids, older, but not too old to sit with their parents and watch a movie. It was just a great time. So that's my question tonight. Do you have a movie that transports you back to a time in your life? Something that happened in your life, whether you were in high school or college, newlywed, hanging with your friends, time in your 20s when you were in the big city, whatever it was. I just described the show Friends. Do you have a film that makes you think of that? It makes you nostalgic for that time in your life? That's tonight's question. Tell me a film that transports you back to a special time in your life. It can be special for any reason. No judgment. Let me know what that is. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. What is a movie? Well, let's open it up too. It could be a movie, a song. What transports you back to a time in your life that was special to you or that you feel nostalgia for? For me, I have many, but I'm batting leadoff tonight with Spencer Confidential. That's what I'm bringing to the table. There's also a movie I've never seen called, what's the movie called? Only the Young was the song. It's a wrestling movie. I'm trying to remember. What the heck is the name of that movie? Now I'm Googling it, and Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift has taken over everything with pop music. Only the Young, as I remember, is a Journey song, but Taylor Swift has taken it. Vision Quest is the name of the movie. It's a wrestling movie starring Matthew Modine. There's a Journey song called Only the Young. I remember being at a high school dance when I heard that song for the first time. And it's one of those moments in your life where it kind of encapsulates, it provides an instant soundtrack to that moment in your life where you're with your friends and you realize, I'm in high school and I'm going to remember this moment. And I did. And whenever that song comes on, it doesn't come on that often, but I think about it. It just kind of gives me a warm feeling. So join the discussion, folks. Let me know what yours is. Do you have a film or song that transports you back to a time in your life, a special time, a time you took note of or recognized? 855-752-4842. Or you can also text us on the app. If you go to the Civic Media app, Nightlight is on statewide. You can click on any of the stations and listen to the show and click the little text icon and let us know what you're thinking. You can also watch Nightlight. That's right. We are on TV, aren't we, Conrad?
We are. We are streaming on a Facebook, YouTube, and Twix.
And Twix. All right. And you ready for those texts, right, buddy?
Of course.
Okay. So let us know what you think. This is a very, this made me laugh too. Last night I was, I don't know what it was about the 80s, but they really made some bad choices in terms of like they used to do these things called production numbers. And they would write a song with the title and the movie in it. And they were so bad. And sometimes they would play them during the credits or when the film opened. That's even worse. But Lethal Weapon with Mel Gibson and Danny Glover came out in 1987. It was a huge hit. I remember I went to see it a couple times. I think I liked Mel Gibson's character so much. I think that's what got me into martial arts when I was 18 years old or whatever it was. But the movie, it doesn't really hold up. It's okay. But there's a song they play during the credits where they shoehorn the title of the film into the song. And just listen to how ridiculous this is. Starts off okay.
When you lose your love, and it makes your life turn cold, when it tears you apart, your heart and soul just can't go on. When love's alive, it sets you free. When it's gone, it's plain to see how even love can become a lethal weapon.
That's so bad. Keep it going, Conrad.
When you lose control,
it's like so forced.
And you scare yourself sometimes.
And the lyrics don't really pertain to the movie.
When you really don't care, yeah.
Yeah. Screams hair band.
You take your life in your own hands. And even love can become a lethal weapon.
All right, that's enough. That's Lethal Weapon from the movie Lethal Weapon. And there's a whole bunch of these. Jay Leno used to do a joke about it. Something like the movie Witness. He came out and he's like, "Oh, those Amish, aren't they farmish?" So bad. All right, we're going to talk about the Big Lebowski next. I'm going to read your texts. And then coming up at the bottom of the hour from UWGB, Jay Finnerty is here. We'll have a good talk with Jay. This is Pete Schwabit and Nightlight. So glad you're with me here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Rosalita reminds me of college and partying in my dorm room. I had never heard the song. I was very familiar with Bruce Springsteen. Never had heard Rosalita. Absolutely fell in love with the song. And when I say party in my dorm room, I mean like 11 dudes drinking cheap beer. That was the typical DePaul University guy to girl ratio. 11 zip. We were shut out, Conrad.
You weren't studying, are you sure?
I studied. I saved it to the last minute. I used to do the Homer Simpson thing. I'll put the book under my pillow. Then during the night, the knowledge will seep into my head.
There you go.
Didn't really work. We got some text. Stacy Sue watching on the stream says the song Dreamweaver. Yeah, that's a, wow, that's a, that's a powerful one. That's one they even used in the Mike Myers film, Wayne's World. They use Dreamweaver very effectively, I might add. Yeah, that's a great great song. And here we got some texts. From the 818, Bridget says, all the songs from Grease. I would imagine, I guess I'm not surprised we heard. And then she continues, Summer Nights. Yeah, the film Grease reminds me of my childhood. I was not allowed to see Grease. I lived on the northwest side of Chicago, in an area called Jefferson Park. All my friends got to see Grease. I was not allowed to go see Grease. My parents forbade. I was the oldest of five, so I got screwed. They were still kind of protective. because that's how it is in big families. They're very protective with the oldest. And then by the time there's a Mike Dugan joke, the comedian who recently passed away, Mike Dugan, says, I was the youngest of nine. So by the time I was in high school, it was pretty much no heroin in the living room. So that's what I was working with. I did eventually see Grease, though, when I was in high school, and it took me back, transported me to that time in Chicago in my neighborhood and these soundtrack songs of my life. It was so crazy. From the 920, this is Rob in Green Bay, says, fear and loathing in Las Vegas will always take me back to my single days before I met my wife and the good times that I had with my best friends at the time. Thank you, Rob. That's great. Yeah, it can be a movie or a song. What takes you back? What makes you nostalgic for your past? It's got to be a movie or a song. Let us know on the text line. If you don't know it by now, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. That was Rob in Green Bay. That's a good one. I still have not seen Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, Rob, all the way through. I know I got to see it. Joe texts, and this is from the 715. I really like Blister in the Sun from the film Gross Point Blank. You have to be careful how you read that. Nobody wants a blister in the sun. But when you're talking about a song, it's okay. And then Peg writes, Tura Lura Lura, the Bing Crosby version, I would assume, which is phenomenal. And then here's Paula chiming in. Conrad, your mom. Oh, Saturday morning cartoons. That works. That's a great one, Paula. That certainly takes you back. Paula, what was your favorite cartoon? If you don't mind texting back, I'm curious.
My favorite was definitely Tom and Jerry.
Yours was, what was your mom's favorite? Do you know?
That I'm not sure of, actually.
Do you have a song, Conrad, that takes you back?
I have a lot of songs, but they're more in the rap genre. So,
okay.
But it's mainly like memories that I have with my friends.
Yeah. It's great. Those are great soundtracks to your life. Paula says Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. I should have guessed that, actually. I should have got that one.
The Mystery Machine.
Yeah. That's my brother's favorite, I feel like, too. So
that's great. All right. Keep those texts coming. We love when you participate in the show. Love hearing from all of you. So today is the anniversary of The Big Lebowski, one of my all-time favorite films. It's a Coen Brothers movie. And I will be honest. It's a strange movie in the sense that a lot of people, the first time they saw it, didn't know what to make of it.
Definitely.
Did you see it?
I saw it for the first time, like, a couple months ago.
Kind of when we started the show, right?
Yeah.
I can't remember having this talk. Yeah. That's how I was. And I attributed it to, like, not knowing what to make. I had just moved to L.A. It's set in L.A., and it's just kind of a weird, with the L.A. characters, but I don't think it's L.A. I just think it's, like, an acquired taste, but... My writing partner at the time, Greg Liana, said, he kept like imploring me, give it more time. I'm telling you, watch it again. And I did. And he was right. And I don't know what it's like if you have a writing partner. It's hard to admit when your writing partner is right. He was spot on. I love The Big Lebowski. So Jeffrey Lebowski loves bowling. If you haven't seen the film, he used to be a roadie. That's how he made his hundreds. He lives, he's always late with the rent, wears a bathrobe and drinks white Russians, and gets involved in a caper. When the Coen brothers made this movie, I think it was based on the movie The Big Sleep, and they put this aging hippie in the lead role, and the caper surrounds around his rug that got stolen, and he's determined to get it back because, as he quotes in the movie, it really tied the room together. So this is... Jeffrey Lebowski, who calls himself the dude, going to meet the guy they were supposed to steal the rug from, a different Lebowski. Go ahead, Conrad.
Okay, sir, you're a Lebowski, I'm a Lebowski. That's terrific. But I am very busy, as I imagine you are. What can I do for you, sir?
Well, sir, it's this rug I have. It really tied the room together.
You told Brandt on the phone, he told me. Where do I fit in?
Well, they were looking for you, these two guys.
Say it again. You told Brandt on the phone. He told me. I know what happened. Yes, yes.
Oh, so you know that they were trying to piss on your rug?
Did I urinate on your rug?
You mean, did you personally come and pee on my rug?
Hello. Do you speak English, sir? Parla usted inglés? I'll ask you again. Did I urinate on your rug?
No, like I said, woo or peed on my rug.
I just want to understand this, sir. Every time a rug is micturated upon in this fair city, I have to compensate the person?
Come on, man. I'm not trying to scam anybody here.
You're just looking for a handout like every other. Are you employed, Mr. Lebowski?
Let me explain something to you. I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude. So that's what you call me, you know? His dudeness or duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
Are you employed, sir?
Employed?
You don't go out looking for a job dressed like that, do you? On a weekday?
Is this a... What day is this?
Well, I do work, sir. So if you don't mind...
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand, you know? This aggression will not stand, man.
That was advice he got from John Goodman, saying you have to draw a line in the sand and find out who stole your rug. I got a couple more texts here from the 608. Rico from Rock County. Hey, Rico. More Than a Feeling by Boston takes me back to when I was 16. Yeah, that's a good one. That's like a soundtrack. That song was like written to be a soundtrack. And then from the 608, Mark from Prairie du Sac says, Three Times a Lady by the Commodores takes me back to 1978 and my college girlfriend, Brenda. That's Mark from the Sac. If you don't go by that moniker in real life, Mark, you need to. That's awesome. We'll read more of your texts when we come back. Jay Finnerty from UWGB will join us. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to the Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. That's all right. We'll make something up. That is the voice of my next guest, who I'm excited to welcome to Nightlight. His name is Jay Finnerty. He is the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay Senior Associate Athletic Director for Resource Enhancement. Jay, welcome to Nightlight.
Hey, appreciate you having me on.
It's my pleasure. So I think we all understand what athletic director is. Senior associate, meaning you probably don't have any bosses over you, other than the chancellors maybe, or?
No, I report directly to our athletic director, Josh Moon.
Okay.
He reports directly to the chancellor.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. And then tell us about the resource enhancement. What do those duties entail?
Yeah, I oversee the ticketing and sponsorship and help a little bit with development. So anything with a dollar symbol by it, I'm around it.
Okay.
I work with it. I help sell it. Talk about it. So, yeah.
That's excellent. So, and you've... You've been doing that. You've only been here like not even 2 years, right?
18 months. I was at.
How's it going over there?
It's going great. I mean, we have a lot of positive momentum. We have a lot of success across all of our sports team, regardless if it's, you know, our Mike Klein, our cross country coach, who was named Horizon League coach of the year. Women's golf went to the NCAA tournament spring. We hosted the Horizon League softball championships. Last year at King Park on the campus of at the UWGB campus, our men's soccer program is coming off an NCAA tournament appearance. That's the first time since 2009 they have done it. Our basketball teams are jamming. We're super excited to have the games on campus tomorrow, the quarterfinals of the Horizon League right there at the Kresh Center.
That is really cool. Now, how much credit can you take for all of that?
I stay out of everyone's
You're
way.
You're on the radio.
I'm on the radio. I stay out of everyone's way. You know,
that's a truly effective administrator, I think. The guy that stays out of the way, yeah.
Hey.
Well, that's pretty cool. So you were telling me a little bit before we came on. Talk about like what the boys and girls basketball teams are doing right now? Because there's some exciting stuff going on.
Yeah, our women's basketball team's doing what they always do. They just win and compete at a high level. They got a game tomorrow against Youngstown State at 5:30. If all goes according to plan, knock on wood, they're going to go to Indianapolis and potentially play for a spot in the NCAA tournament. Our men's program has really turned it around. Last year, I think we were the second or third worst team in the country. Sundance Wicks, his team and his staff, they worked miracles. They turned that program around. We ended up third in the Horizon League, so we got a first round bye as well. So we got Milwaukee on tap at 8 o'clock. We split with them earlier in the year. We beat them at the Rush Center. And then last week they got our number down in Milwaukee. So we're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to it.
This show airs statewide, so I don't know if I should pick a horse in either in that race. But I wish them both good luck. That's
I appreciate it. That's a very politically correct
I'm nothing if not diplomatic. But can people get tickets for tomorrow night's game?
Yep, they can get tickets. They can go to greenbayphoenix.com/tickets to get tickets. They can walk up to the ticket window prior to the game, or they can go to Ticketstar or any Ticketstar outlet, and they'll be able to purchase
tickets. Nice. Okay, great. Yeah, do that, because college basketball, especially this time of year, when you hit March and the tournament is right around the corner, that's just something you have to experience. You know, it's like going to a rock concert almost. There's like a fever pitch, right?
Yeah, it's good stuff. I mean, both of our fan bases are exceptionally passionate about both of our teams, and we are actually running a little crossover as well. So if you have a ticket for the women's game for a couple extra bucks, you can get a ticket to the men's game.
Nice.
And vice versa. So we're selling quite a few of those as well. So we're just excited to have, you know, people on our campus. We're excited to have people in our building, and we're just looking forward to it.
So I was reading your bio. You grew up in Milwaukee. Where are your allegiances, or who did you grow up cheering for? You're obviously a sports guy. Yep. There's so many great college teams just in Wisconsin. Who did you grow up cheering for?
I was a Marquette guy.
Okay.
I was a Marquette guy. Our dad was around the program quite a bit. Rick Majerus, who was an East Side guy of Milwaukee. He was always kind of around, so you got to run in some of those circles a little bit in some social settings with Al and Rick. I was, you know, 4, 5, 6 years old, but that's where really my passion of college athletics and really the team that I rooted for was Marquette. But like we were talking offline, you know, when I was at DePaul and we played Marquette, you know, there was zero allegiance. There was zero allegiance. You know.
Who's signing the checks, right?
Exactly. I know, you know, Father. I'm drawing a blank.
Father Croak?
No, not
he
Father Croak.
Okay.
Not Father Croak. Oh, geez. Father Holtzschneider.
Oh, I didn't know him. He was gone.
Yeah, he was. He was the one signing my checks.
Okay. Yeah. So, all right. So, the Marquette team. Were you a fan when Tom Crean was there and Dwayne Wade and they had that team that made a good run?
Yeah, that was I think in 2003, they made that NCAA tournament run Final Four, if you will. So, yes, I was always a fan.
I had a cousin, Todd Townsend, who was on that team, who was Dwayne Wade's backcourt mate. And I just remember thinking, this guy is living the life I want to live. All I wanted to do was be a sixth man on a college basketball team.
I think Todd Townsend, his nickname was the Sheriff, too, I believe.
Ah, you might be right about
that. I think he was
that.
Kind of the enforcer on those ball clubs.
He went on to coach for a while at UWM. He still lives in Milwaukee, and he's got
fantastic.
A great
yep.
guy. But those were fun years, too. So that was 2003. You were at DePaul in 2005. I went to DePaul for undergrad. I have to ask you this. Should they have built the arena where they did? Or should they have tried to just shoehorn one onto campus and make it 3,000 or 4,000 seats?
Once upon a time, the story was they were going to build one on campus, and then someone from the Rosemont, Illinois, made a phone call, and they built it out there, and that's where they ended up playing.
But they play? Do they play downtown now at the Wintra? Or
yeah, they play. Okay. They built that arena, I believe, in 2009 or 2000. Or no, excuse me, not 2000.
That sounds about
right. 15 or 16. My apologies.
Oh, it's
2015.
New.
Yeah, okay. 15 or 16. Beautiful, beautiful venue. A lot closer to campus. And I think it's going to help them out. I mean, they're in a little funk right now with they're going through a coaching search again. So
okay, so this is my next question. My guest, by the way, is Jay Finnerty. He is the University of Wisconsin Green Bay Senior Associate Athletic Director for Resource Management. So he is pushing tickets tonight for the game tomorrow night between UWGB and UWM. Pick up some tickets and go see some college basketball tomorrow night. We're talking about two schools, the one you're at currently and the one that I attended and that you worked at, DePaul. Will DePaul ever reach its glory again like it was under Ray Meyer? And will UWGB ever become the team again? And are they on their way to becoming that team when Dick Bennett was coaching there and they were the team like you did not want to play in the 90s, those Sweet 16 teams?
I think with the coach that we have now, the head coach we have now, the coaching staff, we're pointed in the right direction. He's got a great culture. He's got a great staff. He believes in, you know, the holistic approach and with, you know, making sure the student athlete is not just a basketball player.
Yeah.
They're a good student. They're a good community member. So we are going in the right direction. Luckily on the women's side with Kevin Borsett, we have that there.
They're
already there. We have a blueprint. As for DePaul, you know, I haven't been on that campus in 13 years or so, so I'll let them kind of speak for themselves.
I'm asking that for selfish reasons because I became a Badger fan like in the early 90s, shortly after I left DePaul because I had ties to Wisconsin and I lived here. But I could never figure that out. I'm like, you've got the city of Chicago to recruit in. How are you not better? How did you let a program slide like that? You know, I don't know.
The story was, I mean, not the story you hear about. And it does kind of line up a little bit. They used to have the WGN contract. So they were probably one of the only schools in the entire country, regardless if it was football or basketball. They were shown nationwide. And so that helped substantially. And then TV got involved in conferences. You know, they were an independent for quite some time. And I think they ended up joining the Great Midwest West League right around 95, 96, 97 with Marquette. So things change. You know, have to adapt a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And UWGB, like, what are the challenges? I know you're not the coach, but, like, you're at this school in Green Bay, not real centrally located, not a big powerhouse Division I, but kind of like you guys, in the past anyway, have kind of laid in the weeds and beat bigger teams and made the Sweet 16. How does UWGB take that next big jump to become a force of a program?
I think, like I mentioned before, KB's got the blueprint. Sonny's a great guy. Great kids, great coaching staff, and just go out, recruit great student athletes, and just beat teams that you're supposed to beat and get lucky every now and then, and chips fall where they may.
All right. I have to ask you this. I know you're associated with athletics, but UWGB is like the fastest growing UW campus. I think I heard that. They're cutting musical theater. My daughter loves musical theater. What is going on there? I can't get anyone to talk to me about musical theater from that school.
Yeah, I can't. I can't either. I'm just selling tickets, sponsorships, and just trying to be the best GA possible.
Oh, buddy, you call me diplomatic. That was impressive. That was even more diplomatic than me. Did you play sports when you were growing up?
I was a football, baseball guy. Played baseball in college at the beautiful College of St. Scholastica, Division III school in Duluth, Minnesota. Hey, let's go north to play baseball in college.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Loved every minute of it. Loved every minute. People thought I was kind of crazy. They still do, but enjoyed every minute of my time up there. Long time friends.
Yeah. So Duluth is like even, because I remember playing high school baseball and those practices in March in Wisconsin were so brutal. The aluminum bats, it was horrible. So what was your position?
I was a first baseman in DH.
Okay.
Yeah.
And DH.
And DH.
Wow. How far did you go with that?
How far?
Did you go to the minor leagues or anything?
Oh, no. I was just lucky. I was just lucky to get in a starting lineup once a week. You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
And what position did you play in basketball?
No, I was not a basketball player. I was a football player.
Oh, I thought you said, okay.
No,
I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's okay.
Well, you're talking very eloquently about basketball here tonight.
Oh, I can do some things, I guess. I don't know. I ref basketball. I ref high school basketball.
Oh, that's fun. Okay.
So I kind of know my way around a court, but I couldn't coach it.
Okay, so you've lived in Duluth, raised in Milwaukee, lived in Chicago right by the lake, beautiful area, and now you're in Northeast Wisconsin. Where have you enjoyed living the most, Jay?
I would say all three places at the time I was living there, I enjoyed it immensely. Young guy living in Chicago, Lincoln Park.
Yeah.
Enjoyed every minute of it. A lot of my passion is being outside. Love to hunt, love to fish. Natural career progression got me up to Duluth. Was able to do a lot of that. And I'm still able to do that here in Green Bay, closer to home. In Milwaukee, we have some land in Washera County that enables to allow me to do some of my outdoor pursuits.
Did you ever do any hunting or fishing in Lincoln Park?
No, 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 no.
They'll chase you out of there pretty quick, I would imagine. Yeah. Well, you seem like kind of a glass half full guy. Like, you seem like you have the kind of attitude where wherever you live, you're just going to make the best of it.
Yeah, I can, yeah. I can have some fun.
Where do you want to go now? Like, I know you got to say Green Bay to be diplomatic. But where do you want your career to take you?
You know,
if you had your choice,
you know, the proverbial where you're going to see yourself in 5 years.
Yeah.
I don't know that, but I enjoy what I'm doing immensely. I enjoy my coworkers. I enjoy working with our coaches. I enjoy working with our student athletes. So I'm just gonna, I'm grounded for now.
Okay. Before I let you go, well, I have to ask you what movies and TV you like, because that's what we do on the show. But
that's going to be a really, really short segment.
What do you say you and I have a dance off before we do that?
I got a bad knee.
At least you have an excuse for being a bad dancer.
I don't watch TV. I don't want movies. And I got a bum knee.
Christy, what's going on here? Christy Barlamet, book Jay. He's a great guy. This is fun, Jay. We have more with Jay Finnerty from UWGB coming up next on Nightlight with Peach Waba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Girl, we couldn't get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire. The time to hesitate is through. No time to wallow in the mire. Try now, we can only lose. And our love become a funeral pyre. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on.
Welcome back to Nightlight. We are talking trash pickup and internet service here on Nightlight tonight with my guest, who is Jay Finnerty from the UWGB. He is the Senior Associate Athletic Director for Resource Enhancement, and we're just spending a few more minutes here with Jay. So you live in Humboldt, 4 miles from campus, and you don't have internet service.
That is correct. Well, I do. It's HughesNet. So when it's cloudy, rainy, windy...
Slight gust of wind.
It's like very, very, very slight gust of wind.
Is it like still dial up or what?
Like it's, I wish it was. If it was, it'd probably work a lot better.
Great.
But yeah, I have HughesNet. It helps. It works for what it has to do.
All right. Yeah. But no trash pickup.
No trash pickup either. So it's always a big day in the town of Humboldt on Wednesdays and Saturdays to go to the town dump.
Is that like a big social scene out there?
It is. I mean, it is. I'm still fairly new, so I do get a couple, you know, hey, some who looks. Are you? Like,
what's this guy doing?
And I always have to point to my sticker that it says Town of Humboldt Recycling. So I can, I'm clean then. I'm good.
But, right. So how does that, you're, you know, relatively young guy. You've lived in some big cities. But you said you like to fish and hunt. Do you prefer the, not the wilderness, but like a rural area?
Yeah. I mean, when I moved here to Green Bay, I was looking for some houses. There's some beautiful neighborhoods in Green Bay, beautiful homes. But I just kind of needed just a little bit more space. You know, a house in Duluth, I had a fairly big backyard.
Yeah.
So that's what I was kind of looking for. Just some space, just kind of operate and kind of roam around.
I think you need to be more of an activist out there and kind of bring it up to date. Maybe get the Pony Express working out there, some Morse code or something.
Or something, but hey.
Get a fax machine.
It all works. I'm just happy when I have to put some more water softener or salt in my water softener.
So right.
My well water.
All right, Jay.
Yes.
So what we do on this show, my background is show business, aside from being a phenomenal athlete when I was younger. Look at Christy laughing. She's never even seen me do a two-handed set shot. You don't know that I'm not great at sports. Yeah. Okay, whatever. So, but we talk about TV and movies. What do you, you've sold all your tickets. You're done. It's a long day at work. You can't reach anybody because of where you live. What is Jay putting on the TV? Do you have color television out there?
Do you have flat screen color TV? Yes.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, so it's not total old school, like here's the big box TV. And I mean, do have remote controls. It's fascinating stuff. But no, what I usually will watch is I do have a subscription to Paramount Plus, and they do have quite a few good shows on there. The one where I'm drawing a blank with Tulsa King with Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, yeah, I watched that.
That was a good one. Joe Pickett, which is right up my alley. It had to do with a DNR warden out in Idaho, Wyoming. Yeah, it was really good. It only went two seasons and no more. So yeah, that's where I'm kind of
Tulsa King's coming back.
Yeah, Tulsa King is coming back.
Yeah, that's one of those. That's the same creator as Yellowstone.
Correct. I think he has all those shows.
He signed like a 12 show deal. So some of them are good, and some, you know, that's a lot of volume you got to put out there. There's going to be some clunkers.
That is true.
And what about movies? What kind of movies do you like?
I'm probably more suspense, maybe a little crime, mafia type stuff.
Yeah,
something along that line, the love story type stuff. That's
okay. What about a mob story with a love story?
I'm trying to think of one.
The Godfather. Most of them have some kind of.
Well, most movies have some type.
Miller's Crossing. What's your favorite mob movie?
Oh, I would have to say I do like Carlito's Way. I mean, maybe not a typical mob movie, but that's really, really good.
That's a good film.
Show. And then what's the one that's not a mob movie that I just recently watched again, which is kind of messes with the mind, was the No Country for Old Men.
Oh yeah,
that's you have to watch it a couple times. You're like, whoa, what's going on here?
That's
like
go ahead.
I was gonna say even the ending with the sheriff having that reflection. I'm still don't understand where that came from.
Yeah, I had to watch that a few times. The ending and even but the narration at the beginning is so amazing. The scenery is beautiful. It's so cinematic. That's a movie when it's on, I cannot turn it off. Javier Bardem as the Chigurh character. Josh Brolin, Tommy Lee Jones. Tommy Lee Jones is perfect. That's the role he was born to play because he's kind of a rural guy. And great film. Wow.
Yeah. That one's kind of like, ooh, that's kind of.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well done, Jay. Yeah. You're all right, man. I hope you come back.
I appreciate it. Well, hopefully.
Did you have fun?
It's been great.
Okay.
I'd like to talk.
You got
to
come in downtown more. This is where all the action is, right? And Christy knows everybody.
Oh, I know. It's just like we talked about, 38th parallel. Town of Humboldt.
I'm impressed you know the parallel.
I just made that up. I don't know if it is the 38th parallel or not. You got Town of Humboldt. You got the grocery store there. You got a couple places you can get, a beer and a burger. Like, I got everything I need. But all so right. I'm venturing out. So.
All right. You got to get the wireless, the cable, though. Get that. Let's start up. Conrad, take a memo.
Sounds good.
Let's get Jay some help out there because, if we want to reach him again. Christy's phone could die or something. We need to be able to reach him directly. So we'll take care of that. But that was awesome, man. Thank you for being on the show.
Awesome.
Much
no,
appreciated.
I did appreciate it.
Anytime.
Had a lot of fun.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. So good luck tomorrow, too, against the other team I'm not rooting against. So
that's fine.
I hope one of those teams wins. That's all I'm going to say.
That is good.
All right. We got some text here for our question tonight. Hold on, Jay. Let's ask Jay this question. Maybe Jay can take us back here. We've got... Do you have a film or a song that transports you back to a time in your life that you feel nostalgic for, whether it's growing up, high school, first girlfriend, hanging with the guys? Let us know, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Anything come to mind?
Well, if you talk about a song that brings back some nostalgia as a child or a youth, probably have to do Glory Days.
Yeah.
You ever listen to that, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I remember playing baseball in Little League with stuff like that. And
running into all those old characters now.
Yeah.
I was walking through the grocery store about a year ago, and I heard the song Thriller from Michael Jackson came on. When I was in high school, people lost their minds when that song came on at a dance, and they would rush out there. And now I'm walking down this aisle at the grocery store, and Thriller comes on. And we're all just a bunch of mopes.
It doesn't
picking our Lipton soup. It's so depressing. Yeah. So that was great, though. Thanks, man.
Awesome.
Great meeting you, Jay.
Thank you, Matt.
That's Jay Finnerty from UWGB. Good luck tomorrow night against UWM. And when we come back, I'm going to finish reading your text. We got some great texts here. Anya Esther's going to be here to talk about U2's last show. Lots of stuff going on in Nightlight. You won't want to miss it. I'm Pete Schwabe, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. It started out with-